Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, and happy to be here with you this morning, I guess. Kim St. Ange, how are you?
I'm good.
Carl Middleman is fixing my light situation here this morning. I was supposed to be in Washington, D.C. today. If you're tuning in this morning on MLK Day and Inauguration Day, I just have to say happy holiday to you. I should be somewhere freezing my rear end off in Washington, D.C. right now. That, however, did not happen because we made the decision on Friday when the announcement was made that Donald Trump would not be inaugurated in front of the Capitol to not go to Washington, D.C.
So I understand that the reason was because of weather, and it will be bone-chillingly cold in Washington, D.C. However, do you feel like there could have been something else at play behind the scenes that we're not being told
that led
to that decision?
I think that is a distinct possibility.
Like security concerns. I mean, obviously, they knew security had to be extremely high. You and I talked last week about them likely having the bulletproof glass around him like we'd seen at other outdoor rallies after Butler, Pennsylvania, the assassination attempt. But something tells me there's more at play than just really, really cold temperatures.
I heard Katie Hopkins, and I've got some sound with her this morning and a few other people speculating on that. At the end of the day, if that's true, I kind of hope it is true. I really do, because I'll be honest with you, and Katie Hopkins made this point very, very well in her lovely British voice. Trump supporters would walk through fire for him. Do you understand? I mean, I don't care if it's 20 degrees with a 25-mile-an-hour wind there this morning, which is what they're expecting. Gusts 18, 19, 20 miles an hour with 20-degree temperatures and maybe snow or something else on top of that. I was prepared for that. I had everything I needed to keep me warm enough to not get hypothermia to stand out in that weather and watch Donald Trump get sworn into office as the 47th president of the United States. I was prepared for that.
Yep.
I don't think weather was a good enough excuse, because the hundreds of thousands of people who were traveling to D.C. to see the president would have gone anyway.
Right.
And he said in his statement that he was concerned about their safety, but these are adult human beings who can make their own decisions regarding cold weather. Many people came from areas colder than that to witness this. It's an event. It's why I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there to witness it. So I will feel better if I find out after the fact that the reason they canceled it was for security reasons, because really all that's important at the end of the day is that he take the oath of office 6 hours from now.
Because
that's what's really important.
He's not even doing the parade outside. He's doing that inside. And I understand with a parade, you're still standing outside and all the things, but that's not your, you know, they were talking about how the Capitol grounds were going to open at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So
yes,
they would have been open by now. And
yes,
surely people would have been lined up waiting. So yes, you'd be outside longer for the actual inauguration itself versus the parade. So to me, it's very interesting that they're doing the parade. They've shifted that too. And he talked about security concerns for, I believe, his security personnel. I'm sorry, not security concerns, cold weather concerns for his security personnel. It's like cops. You see cops out there in sub-zero temperatures investigating crimes for hours on end. You feel bad for them, but they're tough. They're used to that. That's probably part of their training. Hey, guys, when you sign up to be a cop or a firefighter, any sort of person who's doing security detail for a president, you're probably going to be standing in temperatures that are not ideal, or rain, or something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm sure that there was a sigh of relief among a lot of those people. So there have been reports now of them already in D.C. taking down some of the barriers and structures they had set up. They expected a crowd today, I don't know, maybe 400,000 people. Now, many of them, I got lucky. I was lucky. We were driving to Washington, D.C. So all we had to do was cancel the reservation for the hotel, which we were able to do. We were still within the window when we could cancel that. And we didn't lose any money. But imagine if we had booked airline tickets. Like, I have a friend, and I'll talk about this a little more later, who had tickets to the Capital One rally yesterday in D.C. He had a ticket. He and his girlfriend had a ticket to the rally on their phone. I had one, too. They stood in line for 2 hours in the rain to get into Capital One Arena and never got in the doors. So
they hit capacity?
Yes. They overbooked the arena. It holds 20,000 people. There were that many more left outside who were never able to get in. Now, I would have been pulling my hair out if I had driven 12 hours to Washington, D.C., gotten up at 0:30 to go down there and get in line, and then never even got inside the arena.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of a crap show, because every venue is now limited from 400,000 people to 20. Mm-hmm. Only 20,000. And in the Capitol Rotunda today, there might be 500 people in there, mm-hmm. and they will be the VIPs of the VIPs, are the ones that will get access to that, and nobody else.
That's what this is very unlike Trump, because he loves crowds, he feeds off the energy, and that's why this is, to me, more than the weather, because Trump, I think Trump, he's not a pansy. He'd be willing to stand out there in the cold for his inauguration. And so the fact that he's moved it to a crowd of just, you know, 500 or so, whoever will be in the Capitol today, that's a stunning move.
Yeah, I don't think he was worried about him. I think there was more to this, but we'll find out. All that matters is that he gets sworn in and starts signing what I'm now told will be 200 executive orders on day one. There's now reporting out there this morning that he won't sign 100. He's got 200 of them lined up to put the famous signature on today when he gets in office. I can't wait. It's now 6 hours, a little less than 6 hours away. So heaven forbid Joe Biden does any more damage between now and then. All right. I've talked enough. I've gotten my frustration out to some extent. Carl Middleman, what do we have for our top stories this week?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Hey, someone messed up our board. Just like the lights. Here, let's try this one. Oh, I have to hit that.
Not working?
Now, here we go.
All right.
Thank you very much, everybody. What a good feeling. We like winning, don't we? Huh?
Yeah, there he is in the arena last night, and it was quite a show, I'll have to say. I watched most of the speech. The ending of it was epic.
We are going to make public remaining records relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert Kennedy, as well as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
That is what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been waiting for. Remember, was it Mike Pompeo? One of them said a couple of months back that they begged Donald Trump not to release that stuff in his first administration. And I never understood why he didn't do it, but apparently he's planning to do it this time.
Joe Biden made some promises that he was going to be an honest president. He wasn't. That he was going to be a moderate president. He wasn't. And that he was going to try to restore the soul of the nation. I don't think anybody believes that he did that.
Yeah, Scott Jennings there over on CNN. He's become a little bit of a rock star over there. He's probably the only reason they have any ratings these days.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
Wow. Wow, that one sent a chill down my spine. How about you this morning, listening to Rinaldus Magnusser take the oath of office? Was that back in 80? That was in 85.
That was the last one.
That was his last one in the Capitol Rotunda. Not postponed, just moved, Carl.
Well, no, it was
just relocated.
They moved it one day. They actually inaugurated him on a private ceremony on the 20th, and then they did it again.
Publicly the following day. Moved it inside, in other words. So yes.
I watched the Reagan documentary recently, actually, for the first time.
Yeah.
It was really well done.
Well, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the movie, and, you know, I thought it was okay. I mean, it brought back good memories of a lot of those times. Maybe not some of the best acting in the world, but... I thought it was a good movie, if in case you missed it. All right, we're going to get the ball rolling here this morning. Carl Mittleman, on this very important inauguration day, who is bringing us the national anthem this morning?
8 years ago today, Mark.
Yes.
At the inauguration of Donald J. Trump the first time, it was young Jackie Evancho who sang the national anthem, and here she is again.
So did you watch any of the speech that Trump gave yesterday, Kim? I know you're probably glued to the TV while Easton was sitting there watching it with you, right?
Oh, Easton loved watching it.
Oh, good, good.
We watched Finding Dory last night instead with my toddler. But I've been looking at clips, so, including the clip of him doing this dance last night.
It was great. It was great. And maybe the greatest ending to a speech like that in history, because if, first of all, he insulted them. He's like, I'm not going to tell you. I got a secret. It's the worst kept secret in Washington. I got a secret about who's going to be joining me on stage here near the end. They never had this. Their song they're going to play was never number one. It never got any higher than number five on the charts until recently, when it became number one again. He's taking full credit for it, of course, right? So then he says, and they're a little bit heavier than they used to be, but aren't we all, or something like that, like insults them, because I know there's only like one original member in the band still. So
he's the lead singer.
The lead singer, who is a little chunky, I'd have to say. And so this is how the speech ended last night. I edited just a little bit only because there was a little bit of pause between Trump ending speaking and the band starting to play. So I did edit this just a little bit. Listen. Oh, what's going on here, Carl? My computer has reset itself. Hang on, let's see what happens.
We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What a great victory for everybody. Thank you, America. Thank you very much.
So that was it. So they're all out there dancing. The big guy in the Indian headdress, the guy in the garbage man outfit. No, I'm sorry. I guess he's supposed to be a construction worker. He looked like Trump when he wore his garbage vest, his orange vest.
I know what you're talking about.
And Trump's
about
in the background doing the Trump dance, just eating it up. I felt great for the 20,000 people that got in the arena. It was all the poor SOBs outside that I felt bad for, who were stuck in the rain and couldn't get in.
So they oversold it by thousands?
They must have. They must have. I don't understand that, because I had to go on and register, tell them how many tickets I wanted, and then I got they do the two-tier system where you have to put your phone number in, you wait for a text.
Two-factor authentication.
You have to enter the code, and then you receive a text to your an email to your phone saying, this will serve as your ticket, show it at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I had three of those. And unless I had gotten there, they must have given away 30,000 of them, knowing they only had two. Maybe they were afraid not enough people would show up, and they wanted to make sure they packed the arena. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they clearly overbooked that arena, and they're going to do it again today.
I'm sure. You didn't have to pay, right?
It was free.
Okay.
Yeah. You had to buy some Trump coin in order to get in there.
You had to buy the Trump watch, the $500 Trump watch.
So now there's a Trump coin, like a meme coin, right? Which I know people who went out and bought some of it the other night when it came out, and they've already doubled their money. Now, whether or not it keeps climbing or not, I don't know.
Cash out now.
This is like fart coin. I feel for all the restaurants and the hotels, though, that had been banked on being completely booked and maybe even got, you know, ordered a certain amount of items, assuming that they would be used, and now they are no longer needed.
Well, people might have either cut their trip short. Apparently the roads in eastern Pennsylvania are pretty sketchy right now, and the Pennsylvania Turnpike is not a fun place to drive in the first place. So if they're having weather on top of that, there might have been people that canceled after finding out they were just going to be basically tourists in D.C. this weekend with no chance of seeing President Trump, even in the limo as he would drive by, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because now all that's going to happen inside.
Yep.
It really makes you wonder if we're not going to find out later that there was some security concern that they weren't willing to panic people over, but they just thought, we're just going to divert here and do this inside. The important thing, obviously, is getting him sworn in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. I mean, clearly, if somebody was planning some major terrorist event, I assume they could still get it. Now, something happened yesterday in Arizona that you need to know about. And I'm going to tell you more about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. If you haven't heard this story, it is frightening. One of the things, obviously, Donald Trump's going to do starting today with these 100, 200, however many executive orders, is secure the border. One of the things he's going to do is potentially declare members of these cartel gangs along the border as terrorists, at which point he could unleash special operators against them. And it may be past due time to do that. I'll tell you why when we come back from this break. You're listening to a special coverage of the inauguration today on the Mark Cox Morning Show. Stay tuned.
On the border, the American people gave him a clear mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Lock down our border, deport the worst of the worst, take on the cartels. We cannot have a situation where we have paramilitary gangs that are shooting down aircraft with heavy weapons, controlling 30% of our neighbor, Mexico, and controlling whole swaths of our border.
You're talking about perhaps an executive order designating cartels as a terrorist group or
designating. I don't want to get ahead of the announcements, but we have to deal with them with what they are. These are paramilitary organizations with billions at their disposal, with armored vehicles, heavy machine guns that are fighting the Mexican army, not police,
mm-hmm.
army, to a standstill. President Trump was clear on the campaign trail that we're going to take them on, and then we're going to use every resource that we need to defend the American people.
That is incoming National Security Advisor Mike Waltz. And I hope you were paying attention to the details of what he's talking about there. You know, I saw I don't know if you've been watching the show Landman or not. Billy Bob Thornton, it's the latest one from Taylor Sheridan. And there's a scene in there when they're having trouble with a local drug lord. And they talk about bringing the military in. And Billy Bob Thornton says to him, "You have no idea what you're messing with. You have no idea." He's talking to the drug lord about the guy. You think that you got a couple of tough guys with AK-47s who are your gang enforcers. You have no idea. I was listening to a podcast one time with a special operator, and he said that he could not imagine a worse nightmare as a former special ops operator than knowing he had been targeted by a special ops team, spec ops. He's like, I can't. You're dead. If they've targeted you, you will die. So what Mike Waltz is talking about here is once they have declared these cartel members as a terrorist threat, Donald Trump can release all hell on them and shut down some of these problems on the southern border. The coyotes, the drug runners, all of these problems, right? So you're like, well, how bad could it be? You heard what he's talking about there. Like, on the other side of the border, they're shooting down airplanes. They're small planes. They're doing all kinds of stuff like that. They operate at will because the Mexican government won't do anything about it. They're all paid off, right? Here's what you should be concerned about. And we have talked about this, Kim, for it seems like years now, since Joe Biden got in office. Forget about how bad the situation is regarding the illegals who've come into this country, raped, murdered our young girls, gotten drunk driving accidents and killed our police officers, as happened here in St. Louis. I mean, the list goes on and on. Lake and Riley. I mean, it's pathetic what the outgoing administration has done to this country with its open border policies. It's ridiculous. But the concern all along has been, well, who are all of these people that have been breaking into our country? And do any of them have ill intent, right? Because, I don't know, I'm not a criminal mastermind. I'm certainly not a terrorist mastermind. But if I was, and I knew that my number one sworn enemy in the world had a border I could just walk across, what I might consider doing is sending some of my soldiers, and I'm using air quotes there, my intifada, my terrorist groups who are sworn to kill their enemy, and I might infiltrate them into my enemy's country to have them in place to commit some major mayhem at some point. Now, that really hasn't happened yet. We've had a couple of isolated incidents, but what I'm about to play for you should scare the living hell out of you and make you understand that Donald Trump being sworn in 5 hours can't come too soon. Listen to what they found in Arizona yesterday. This is just amazing. Listen.
Now to Cochise County, where this week deputies made a major bust, thousands of rounds of heavy caliber bullets. The sheriff's office says two vehicles coming from Phoenix were stuffed with ammunition boxes. Investigators found an SUV loaded with 10,000 rounds of 50 caliber rifle rounds at a Motel 6 in Benson. And one of the men transporting the large rounds is an asylum seeker from Cuba. Pinal County Sheriff's Office seized the other vehicle, which contained close to 20,000 rounds of AK-47 ammo. The two men transporting those rounds were also both asylum seekers. The Sheriff's Office tells Fox 10 that Homeland Security and the ATF are leading the investigation. The 50 caliber rounds have an estimated value of more than $38,000.
And those are just the ones who have been caught. I saw that some of the colleges across the country were telling their international students, hey, make sure you come back because day one, Trump's going to clamp down, you know, talking about putting the ban that he had in place for his first term on the primarily Muslim countries.
He was called an Islamophobe.
And then also including Gaza now with that, any refugee, you know, making sure they're not coming over. And him being able to do this within hours of you know, taking office just goes to show you that Biden had 4 years to do something like this. He would blame Congress, saying that we couldn't do anything until Congress acted. And that's just simply not it. There were things he could have done on his own through executive action to give us some level of protection until Congress, you know, acted.
Well, if the news hadn't reported on this, you might not ever know about it. I don't know how they stumbled across this down there. They had pictures of the ammo in the back of these SUVs. Now, you have to understand something. It's not unusual for somebody to go into a store. They bulk. Ammo can be purchased in bulk in a lot of ammunition stores. My 2A people will know this already, but I could easily go in and buy 200 or 300 or 400 rounds. Sometimes they're in a container that's just designed to hold 400 rounds, right? This is so far beyond that. And you 50 caliber ammunition is specific. These aren't sniper rounds. I mean, they could be sniper rounds, but these are often something that's like in a, you know, a Browning automatic rifle or something like. I mean, you're talking about a gun that is not just anybody can shoot. And the fact that you would need that many rounds of 50 caliber ammunition. Now, the other ammo they bought, the 7.62, is pretty specific. There are a couple other guns that can probably fire, but it's pretty specific for an AK-47. Who needs that many rounds unless maybe there's something completely legitimate. Maybe they work for somebody who has a training facility and they're all out there. Maybe. But
doubtful.
Why not send an American citizen to buy? Where do they buy it from? Right? These are people in the country illegally seeking asylum. They're asylum seekers right now, because now you can come to the border if you want to break in, fill out the Joe Biden app, claim you want asylum, and then you get slapped on the wrist and welcomed into the country. So these are illegal aliens using Joe Biden's law-breaking app, in my opinion, to evade the law, to circumvent the law, and claim they want asylum when really all they wanted was to get their bodies into this country to potentially commit mayhem. Where were they headed to?
I assume Trump can shut down that app day one.
Oh, I hope so.
I mean, he has the power to do
that, right? I would assume Tom Homan's
right?
Probably already got that executive order sitting on his desk. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're going to reinstate Remain in Mexico. They're going to do all of these things that are just common sense.
Well, I heard, I forget who we were speaking with. Maybe it was Griff Jenkins from Fox News talking about how the Border Patrol agents are thrilled. They're so relieved that they can actually do the job that they signed up to do. Because right now they've basically been told, you know, stand there and twiddle your thumbs. You can't do anything. You have to let these people in. And now they can actually patrol the border and secure it.
So I want to point something out here, and I don't have anything to back this up other than a sneaking suspicion, because I don't know that it's related to anything. But we're just now finding out about this. But the bust was made. They released the details on the 19th yesterday. The bust was made sometime earlier in the month of January, right? The cars were headed east on I-10 from the Phoenix area. 10,000 rounds of 50 caliber ammunition and 20,000 rounds of AK-47, 7.62 by 39 ammo that you would use in an AK-type rifle. By the way, they left the lights on for him. They were staying at a Motel 6 in Benson. The point is, they were headed east. Were they coming to the East Coast? Because that'd be about probably a two-day drive from Arizona to get to the East Coast. Were they delivering the ammo to people who were about to do something no good with it somewhere on the East Coast? Like, is there any big events taking place in the East Coast?
Nothing
this week
really going on that I'm aware of.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I don't know that had anything to do with it, but thank God they caught them. And what about the ones they didn't catch? What if there's somebody else transporting just as much ammo up there?
Right.
I don't know. These are the things that we need to thank our lucky stars that we're having a major change in direction starting today, because the last administration, clearly, if you listen to Mike Johnson explain his interaction with Joe Biden, Biden had no idea what he had even signed recently. None whatsoever. So we're going to get to a quick break here. We'll see. We've been trying to get a report from D.C. from you on the inauguration today. A little later, we're going to talk to Hans von Spakovsky. We're going to talk to Congressman Bob Onder at the top of the hour. So stay tuned for that. We're going to get to Madison Rivera from Fox News coming up here when we come back. Stay tuned. Yeah, some of the comments from President Trump last night at that Capital One Arena there in D.C. And as you can imagine, there's a lot going on today, although most of it will be indoors. Madeline Rivera with Fox News is covering this in the nation's capital this morning. Madeline, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, I hope you're staying warm.
Yes, trying. It's very cold here.
No kidding. So everything's kind of changed the last 24 hours. The Capital One rally, obviously held indoors. The inauguration later today going to be held indoors. There are going to be a lot of people wandering around in the streets with nothing to do, it seems to me like.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, right? So a lot of these Trump supporters, they have been here for days. They booked hotels. They booked flights. And then, of course, there came the 180 with the plans. So initially, a lot of them were disappointed, understandably so. They spent money to be here. But at the same time, you talk to these supporters, they say they're just happy to be in D.C. anyway. And there is, among them, a jubilant mood throughout the city. They're excited to be around each other. They're still gathering along the streets, hoping maybe to catch a glimpse of the motorcade. They're gathering around downtown D.C. by the Capital One Arena. Even if they can't get a chance to go inside the arena for the presidential parade later on this afternoon, they just want to be around there because of the mood, because of the ambiance. So, there's a sense of disappointment that they can't see these ceremonies in person, but there's excitement as well just being around here because the mood among them is contagious. That's kind of the general feeling here in D.C., and it's certainly very busy. You go to the trains, you'll see them wearing their MAGA gear. You go to restaurants. There's a lot of activity in D.C., especially around downtown D.C. It's definitely bustling.
Mark and I have talked this morning about how we feel like there's more at play than just the cold weather, that maybe there was a security concern that led to them moving it indoors. Have you heard people there in D.C. talking about that, too?
You know, there is a conversation regarding this publicly. What security officials are saying, what the Trump team is saying, is that it all came down to weather. But let's not forget the fact that President-elect Trump survived two assassination attempts last year. So I'm sure that there was probably some security component to this. But publicly, what security officials are saying, what the Trump team is saying, is that this ultimately came down to a weather factor because it is very cold right now. I'm looking at the temperatures. I was just out there waiting for my live shot for Fox News Channel. And even just standing out there for 10 minutes, it's painful, you know, so I can't even imagine standing out there for hours. But then again, don't underestimate the support, or rather the excitement and dedication of Trump supporters.
For yeah. Sure. Madeline Rivera joining us this morning live from Washington with Fox News. And, you know, I've heard some reports regarding the number of people they think they can now fit into the Capitol Rotunda. And the last one I heard yesterday was some question as to whether or not even they're going to have to limit it so much that even the spouses of members of Congress are going to be excluded. Like the members of Congress might be able to be squeezed in there, but not many more people. What have you heard about that?
So this is a sense of, there's so much frustration surrounding this issue among so many lawmakers. So I believe the capacity for the rotunda is 600 people, but 600 people inside the Capitol Rotunda for the ceremonies today, I'm told that's pushing it. And because, you know, you've got the setup there, right, for the swearing and ceremony, that alone takes up space inside the rotunda. So that takes away real estate for people who are hoping to go. So I believe that according to our Capitol Hill correspondent, that program, they're thinking maybe more like 500 people inside the rotunda for the swearing and ceremony for today. So certainly a fraction of what it would have been outside. And the people who are going to be going are ticketed guests and members of Congress. So, yeah, a lot of frustration surrounding this.
Yeah, I'm sure. Madeline, when they go to Capital One Arena after the inauguration, what have they been told to expect over there? How are they going to do? I was told there was going to be a parade in there. Is that right?
That's the idea. So, you know, there are so many questions surrounding this as well, because how is that going to look like? Are they just going to go around the arena? I don't really know. Regardless, it will be a spectacle. Presidential parade, inaugural parade always is. But we'll see how they actually manage that logistically. But yes, our understanding is that the presidential parade will march on towards the Capitol One Arena around 4 p.m. Eastern time. And you've got about 20,000 people. That's the maximum capacity for the Capitol One Arena. And of course, they'll be excited to watch something because unfortunately, the majority of Trump supporters won't be able to.
Yeah.
And no changes. There's a few balls happening tonight, and I know some of these performing artists have taken some heat for having anything to do with Donald Trump, Carrie Underwood among them, because she's been a little quieter. You know, Jason Aldean, who's planning to perform tonight at the Liberty Ball with Nelly, I saw, and I think the Village People, you know, obviously the Village People tied to Trump because of the dance, but then the other ones, like, right. I'm not surprised about Jason Aldean, but Carrie Underwood, like I said, I know has taken some backlash for her involvement with this.
Yeah, and, you know, some of them have responded to the criticism that they've gotten for participating in the ceremonies for today and some of the events for today. And Nelly, for example, he said, look, it's an honor. It's an honor to perform at any one of these ceremonies. So, you know, I guess he's asking for fans to have an understanding of that. Yeah.
Very true. Madeline, listen, we appreciate your time this morning. I know you got a lot going on there in D.C., but thanks for giving us a live report.
You got it. Of course, you got it. Good to be with you, yeah. You guys. Happy Inauguration Day.
Happy Inauguration Day to you. Madeline Rivera there with Fox News. You'll be seeing her coverage this morning if you're watching Fox later. She's live outside of the Fox Capital News Bureau, and I've been there a number of times when we've done broadcasts from up there, and you can see the Capitol Dome like right behind, like if you step out in front of that building, the Capitol Dome is right across the street. So I can get a mental image of where she's standing there when she's talking to us. Now, she probably ducked inside the glass doors because it's so freezing cold outside. They just pop out and do their live shot, and they come back inside where they can get warm. I saw Griff Jenkins out there yesterday interviewing a bunch of people outside of the Capitol One Arena because all those people stood in line for hours in the rain. Ugh. Like it was like rain, like a steady downpour of rain. My friend is up there, Charles. I was trying to get him to call in this morning, and he's not responded to me. I imagine he's sleeping in. I asked him to get me a T-shirt. I wanted a sweatshirt or something from the inauguration. So he told me he finally got one yesterday, but it's probably wet. It's what he told me, because they were standing outside the Capitol One Arena waiting to get in for like two and a half hours, and then didn't get inside.
Ugh.
I would have been so angry at that point. There's got to be some frustration on the part of the people who spent all that money to go to D.C. and now they're kind of trapped on the outside. Hey, by the way, speaking of trapped, have they ever cleaned the streets in St. Louis? Apparently, they finally got around to approving some money for it. We'll talk about all that and more. Plus, we're going to talk to Congressman Bob Onder live from the nation's capital when we come back. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.